Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Marvin Gully. I will be your host on tonight's 8 p.m. show titled, I Am, What Words Do You Identify With? I would like to start my show off first by giving a thanks to Russ Perry, who contacted me on my Instagram and asked me would I like to be a host on this show. So, Russ Perry, I'd like to thank you for this grand opportunity, and I hope to serve the Life Coach Radio Network well in the upcoming episodes of my shows. So this is my first show as a host, so tonight what I'm going to do is share my life story just to help you understand who I am and kind of what I do and why I feel qualified to be a host on Life Coach Radio Network. Number one, I am a child of God. I'm a believer in Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then there are so many I ams to identify with, but tonight that'll be the main two that I'll, you know, let you know I identify with as far as I am. Also, what I do is I educate, motivate, encourage, and help build belief in people as a certified personal trainer. I also have a real estate license and also a wellness business that I run out of my home pretty much every day. So, and also what I do is, you know, just uplift people and encourage people, talking to them about, you know, hard times in life and struggles and that kind of thing. So I found that going to the gym, working out is a hard and tough thing for some people, so that's why they have to hire a certified personal trainer to help them with their results and to help them stay motivated and encouraged, and I help them, you know, believe in themselves when they do that. But relating that to the gym, I believe that you can also relate life almost to like going to the gym, because life can be, you know, pretty tough for people. And they need inspiration and influence and even a push in life to give them belief in themselves. So that's why I'm a host on Blog Talk Radio, Life Coach Radio Network, to be that for people in life outside the gym. Now what I would like to do is tell my life story and why I believe I qualify to be a host on Life Coach Radio Network. First off, I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm 39 currently. I'll be 40 years old in December. And just the path of my life has led me to want to help other people. Like I said, born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and to a mother. My mother was 15 years old. My father was 19. So I had two young parents. Pretty much hard times growing up in New Orleans. I spent my first 5 years there, and my father, he was, you know, in the Air Force. He retired Air Force, but, you know, we traveled to, you know, overseas and traveled a little bit and in Germany and other places like that. And so what I found is I saw two different styles of life. On my mother's side, I saw poverty, you know, poor, just a different lifestyle from on my father's side. I saw, you know, middle class, you know, can afford certain things, clothes, food, and that kind of stuff. And so I think what I saw, seeing both sides of life, has helped me today to understand what I could be and who I could be, because I knew that there was more to just being poor, and then there's more to just being a middle-class, upper-class person. So at a very young age, I would say, I think I was probably about 16 years old, I went back to New Orleans. I went to elementary school in Georgia, and I went back to New Orleans because I was pretty much a hard-headed kid. You know, my father was in the Air Force, so I, you know, almost got him kicked out by doing some things like stealing and just being, you know, more than, you know, a handful for him to be able to handle. And so I got sent back to New Orleans to finish out my high school years. And at the age of 16, I developed a drug habit. So I not only was selling drugs, I was, you know, I started using drugs. And to this day, I can remember that very first night, you know, that I tried cocaine. You know, it was like a, you know, it was just a total different feel. And so from the age of 16 to the age of 18, I was, you know, I had a strong drug habit and that kind of stuff. And so what I did was before, you know, I finished high school and before I came back to Georgia, I went to Job Corps in Arkansas trying to get away from that drug habit, trying to, you know, not have to go to rehab or anything like that, but just, you know, try to go to, just take myself out of that area. So what happened, I went to Job Corps, finished a program in carpentry. And while I was there, I was a leader. I was considered what was a dorm leader. So that meant that, you know, I was pretty much, you know, leading the new people in the dorm and the people in the dorm that, you know, I was there to help them with their problems, help them when disorder came about, that kind of thing, and just to lead the dorm in a positive way. And so I finished Job Corps with a carpentry certification, went back to New Orleans, Louisiana, and I got back on drugs again. So this is, you know, 1992, you know, I'm turning 18 years old. And so, you know, I still had that cocaine habit. And so I, my dad called for me to come back to Georgia. So I came back to Georgia in December of 1992. And that's where I currently reside at now. And I kicked the drug habit. I was completely free of cocaine and, you know, marijuana, anything like that. I was just, I was free of it. And I got tried and tested with the habit. And what it was the fact that I didn't want my father to see me as a 18-year-old with a cocaine habit, looking in his eyes and being high, that kind of thing. So I was able to just stop when he called and asked me. I was only supposed to come here for Christmas, just for 2 weeks, and then go back to Louisiana. And so I happened to just stay. I've been here ever since. You know, I've been back and forth to New Orleans a couple of times here and there. And so I was tried one night. A friend of mine, he was, you know, selling drugs where I live now. And one night he asked me to, you know, hold his drugs or whatever. And I was nervous. I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do it. But I couldn't tell him, you know, hey, man, I'm just coming off of a couple of weeks of not using this stuff. I don't think I should hold it. So I went on ahead and I took it home to my dad's house and kept it. And that night I didn't do it. I didn't use any of it or anything. And so right then and there, I knew I was delivered from it. And I knew it wasn't anything but the God in my life, somebody was praying for me. I always felt like I had a grandmother. My grandmother was praying for me in any situation. And I believe that that's what was going on then. You know, my grandmother was praying for me, and that prayer delivered me from that drug habit. So moving from, you know, that time frame, yeah, I still had a bad attitude as a young man, 18 years old, you know, so I was, I thought I was going to play professional football. I thought I was going to, you know, walk on somewhere, try to play professional football or something like that, and you know, go on to college, walk on a college team or something, and then, you know, make it to the NFL. So what I did in the meantime, before I even attempted to go to college, I'm in Georgia now, and, you know, my dad gets me a job on base at the at Robins Air Force Base at the Officers Club. I'm working there. Had a bad attitude, get fired, lose my job. Started another job detailing cars. Did that for, you know, many years, 5-6 years. And so still had a bad attitude. But luckily, the guy that owned the place, he kept me around. I just had anger. You know, he kept me around, that kind of thing. And so I knew he was a real good person in my life, because one time I was arrested and I was taken to jail, and they said that there was a warrant on me for stealing. And this guy that owned the shop came up there and vouched for me and said, I've been knowing Marvin for years and he's a hard worker and I have never known him to steal anything, which in mind, it wasn't me stealing. Somebody actually said it was me. I guess, you know, I look like the person or whatever. So, you know, the police officer said, we can't take your word for it. So I was eventually was thrown out, that kind of thing. But, you know, it meant something to me when he came up there and vouched for me and believed in me. So I worked for him for a few more years, and then I started doing construction again, concrete, finishing, that kind of thing. Did that for, you know, a few months. And then I thought was a good job back then. This is 1997 or 1999. I'm working at a supply store building doors. And I'm like, wow, this is, you know, I'm making good money. I kind of got a foundation, you know, but I still had a bad attitude and still had anger. For some reason, I stayed in places that I need to be for a long period of time, because I had bosses and supervisors who either seen something in me or I don't understand, but they kept me around. And because of that job there, it lasted me for 8 years building doors. And while I was there, I started learning things about myself. I got into reading, got into self-development, because I knew I wanted more. And so I picked up a book, went to the bookstore, and the very first book I picked up was The Millionaire Next Door by Stanley. I can't remember his last name, but the title of the book was The Millionaire Next Door. I would read that book on my break, come home and read it, that kind of thing. And I just always knew that there was more in me besides what I was doing then, which was building doors. But I still had this dream of playing professional football, but didn't know how. You know, didn't understand how I was going to do this, if I was going to go to college or whatever. And at that time, this is 1999, I had two sons already. You know, my first son was born in 1994, and then my second son was born in 1996. So here it is, I have two kids at the time to take care of, and I do want to, and at the time I wanted to be a good father, I wanted to be in their life, and I wanted to participate in their life. So I always knew I was going to have a good job some kind of way, and I knew I wasn't going to go back to the street life and do the, you know, anything that was unlawful. So this is 1999. As I said, I'm get this job at the supply store, and I just feel good about myself, but, you know, I just feel like there's more in me. So I started reading, you know, self-development, picking up things and understanding I can do more, I can do better, but I'm still not changing my attitude. I'm still having anger issues. And so I was in a delivery truck one day, and I seen a real estate sign. Something told me, I said, I'm going to go to real estate school. So I did everything I could to figure out how to go to real estate school. And, you know, I called the technical schools and all this, and none of them offered any kind of real estate courses. Finally got in touch of a real estate academy. And I said, you know, I'm going to go to real estate. I'm going to get my real estate license, and I'm going to sell real estate. So that's what I do. I enroll in real estate school. It's about a six-month course. And I knew I had something in me then when I studied and read and did everything I knew I could to possibly pass the Georgia real estate exam, just believing that, you know, this is going to be my ticket. This is how I'm going to take care of my family. This is how I'm going to take care of my kids, and I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to become somebody. And so I get the real estate license, you know, after all the studying and everything, and I'm still at the supply store. I still have the same bad attitude. Nothing's changing with my attitude. I'm still, you know, cursing out my boss, my supervisor, because I'm showing up to work late. I'm still running my mouth, you know, doing, you know, working how I want to work and being undisciplined. And so, I finally realized that, you know, something had to change, because that day, the day I lost my job there, I said, you know, either today I'm going to quit or I'm going to get fired. I don't know, but anyway, I get to work and bad attitude, I show up late. So I get fired, and I go to the office to quit. So that started my journey on to where I am today. But I did leave out one serious detail. In 1995, I joined the United States Marine Corps, thinking that was going to change my attitude and I was going to get better. But, you know, I stayed in the Marine Corps. And I was considered, in Marine Corps, we have what's called a guide, and the guide carries a guide on, which leads the platoon. So in boot camp, I was considered a leader because I was a guide of my platoon. I don't understand how I forgot to even mention the Marine Corps. But, you know, I did a short time there because I tore my shoulder up. And so I was, you know, honorably discharged from the Marine Corps, that kind of thing. And you know, I wasn't in there long enough to even, you know, develop a more positive, better attitude. So I lose my job at Wonder Robin Supply I say, well, good, I can, you know, go start doing real estate full time. And so the next day, me and a couple of people from the office, we go eat at a Chinese restaurant. And I still have this thing that was in the fortune cookie from that day in my wallet. And I read it. It says, you will never need to worry about a steady income. And the date on that is January 11th, 2007. I still carry that with me today. And it's been the honest truth. I've never had to worry about a cent, a dime. Not that I've made a lot of money, but I've never been stressed or concerned about money, you know, and I carry that with me every day. So I start my business adventure in real estate, and didn't do that great. You know, I'm presently not active in real estate, but, you know, what it did help me do was develop as far as believing in myself, because I started making cold calls, facing rejection. I started reading more books about, you know, real estate, self-development, watching different things on TV to encourage me, real estate shows and all that kind of stuff. So it really helped me to develop as a person and to understand who I was and my growth. And so I started real estate school. I mean, I started selling real estate. And about 6 months, I didn't get a listing. A listing is when somebody, you know, puts their house for sale up and you're going to be the marketing agent for them. I didn't get the listing. For 6 months, I didn't get a listing. And so finally, in May of 2007, it was April Fool's Day. I got a phone call. A lady had spoke with me at a gym we were working out. She said, "Aren't you a real estate agent?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And so she asked me, this is before she actually called me to list the house. But she said, "Will you come just take a look at our house and see what you think about it and tell me, you know, what kind of improvements you think I should make?" Now, I'm a new agent, and I'm really like, I'm just getting stuff from TV off, you know, HGTV, that kind of thing, and I'm watching these shows. And so I go advise her on stuff that I've seen on the TV and everything. So here it is, April 1st, April Fool's Day, a Sunday, 2007. I get a phone call, and she said, "Hey, it's so-and-so. You came to take a look at our house. Well, we want you to go ahead and list it." And I'm married at the time. I'm married, and I look at my wife. I said, "Isn't today April Fool's Day?" And she was like, "Today's April 1st. And I said, "Well, I got a phone call here to go list the house that I went to look at." And so it wasn't an April Fool's. They actually listed their house with me, and the house sold in 7 days. The house sold in 7 days, and that was unbelievable. I had an offer on that house within, I think, 4 days, and then the house was sold in 7 days, and we went, you know, 30-day close, that kind of thing. But I asked the lady, I said, "I told you I was a new agent and, you know, brand new, not really knowing what I was doing. What made you okay with calling me to take a look at your house?" At the time, now, my hairstyle was in dreadlocks. And so she told me, she said, "Well, Marvin, because of you being you, I felt like I can trust you more because you aren't." And I kept my hair neat. You know, it wasn't just, you know, dreadlocks that were messy or anything. They were neat, pulled back, that kind of thing. But she said she felt like she could trust me more because I appeared to be genuine and real to her and not a clean-shaved salesman. You know, not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but and at the time when I got into real estate, you know, that's how I felt. I felt like, you know, I want to be me. I want to be myself. And I grew dreadlocks. You know, and like I said, they were well-maintained and everything. But, you know, I just wanted to be comfortable in my own skin and do what I, you know, wanted to do. But I'm in a city that's a military town, so there is a little bit of conservativeness here, you know. So, and I had to understand that you know, yeah, I may get one house here, two house here, but in the long term, will I be able to build a career with, you know, this kind of identity? Because everybody's not going to be like her and say that they trust me. So in 2009, I cut my dreadlocks off after 2 years of wearing them as an agent. I said, "You know what? I'm going to cut them off." I cut them off Easter. I said, "I'm going to rise again, come out like different," you know, and so I cut my dreadlocks off, and I just felt good about myself. I felt good because I felt like I didn't have to explain anything. I can still be myself, but I didn't have to try to convince somebody I was this or I was that. Whereas where I had the dreadlock hairstyle, I had to kind of give a little bit more to let people know that, hey, you know, I'm trustworthy with your house, or I'm trustworthy with your money, that kind of thing. So cut my dreadlocks off, feeling better, still doing real estate a little bit part-time. And I was working out at a gym. I was working real hard going to NFL combines, to football camps and that kind of thing. Went to a camp in 1998 with the Jets. And so I was still doing that years later. In 2000, played a little semi-pro football. And I'm kind of rambling here. I'm leaving some things out. But played a little semi-pro football 2004, 2005, that kind of thing. Still trying out for NFL. So here it is again, 2009. Like I said, I cut my dreadlocks off. And, you know, just looking at life in a whole different mind frame as far as business and success and looking at successful people and how they carry themselves. So I was working out at a gym, and a friend of mine looked at me one day and said, "Marvin, you ought to be a personal trainer because, you know what you're doing. You work out tough and, you know, hard, and you really like what you're doing." And I was like, you know, I still wasn't a people person then. And that's something I should have mentioned earlier. That was my biggest struggle. That was my biggest struggle because I grew up so by myself and alone. I do have two brothers and a sister, but we're so many years apart. And my one brother that's in New Orleans, me and him, never were close because I was either here or there or wherever, and I wasn't just in one, you know, place where he grew up in New Orleans with my mother. So I wasn't close with anybody. I was just a loner. I was by myself. And so I didn't have people skills. During school, I would fight a lot. I would get in trouble a lot because, you know, I just insecurity and just, you know, wanting attention, that kind of thing. So not having the good people skills, I wasn't relating to people well. And so when he told me that, I was like, man, I don't want to be a trainer. I don't want to spend 45 minutes to an hour with somebody and that kind of thing. So 2009, yeah, I'm still doing real estate, and I started a part-time job working at a rental company, Aaron's Rental Company. And so I did. Well, what happened before that, the real estate crash happened in 2008. Okay, so I'm doing okay in 2007. 2008, everything started, you know, going south or whatever. So I said, well, you know what, after hearing that so many times about I should be a personal trainer, I decided to get certified. So it took me a year because I took my time doing it when it would have took the average person anywhere from 3 to 6 months. But I was just lazy about doing it because I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to do it. I was excited when I started it, but then when I seen all the work, I felt like I was back in school again, like real estate school. So, but I finally did get my license, my certification as a personal trainer. And so I was working at this rental company, and same thing, bad attitude, chip on my shoulder. I lost my job there, you know. And so I went to 2009, I went to the gym. I started working there at night while I was at the rental company and doing real estate. And the gym that I started working with there in 2009 is where I am now in 2014. So I've been with them 5 years. And through those years, I have truly learned to be a people person, to love and understand people, and to meet people where they are and not force any ways on people, and to just, you know, be genuine about wanting to help them and understand them. Because when I first started training, I didn't care for it. I was just doing it just to do it, just to have extra money come in. But when I saw what I was doing in these people's lives as far as helping them live a healthier lifestyle and what was so difficult for them and it was so easy for me, I felt an obligation to help these people. So I started doing that in 2009, more in 2010. So 2010, 2011, I'm in a little bit of depression mode. So what I find myself doing now is I'm drinking, you know, a lot, you know, as far as at night. And so I'm drinking at night watching church. So I'm still trying to find myself. So every night, I DVR church programs on TBN, the Trinity Broadcast Network, and Daystar and some of these other networks. And I'm at night, I'm drinking, you know, to the point of just past, you know, not drunk or anything, but I'm drinking, you know, a pretty good bit. And I'm always crying. Every night I'm crying. Every night I'm crying. I'm crying because of the relationship with my mother, no true mother in my life. I'm crying because of things I'm dealing with in my marriage. I'm crying because I feel like I have nobody there, a normalcy as far as family and friends and just people that I can turn to. And this went on for so long, I'm just walloping in my sorrow as far as, you know, why is this happening? Why I don't have anybody to turn to? Why I don't have true friends? Why I don't have a great marriage? And, you know, just having a hard time. And that honestly lasted me for about a good year and a half, maybe close to 2 years. But I was consumed in the church. And as I was watching this, I know that it was God and the Holy Spirit speaking to me and making a change. So I was praying to want to come out of this. Now, I'm not saying today I don't drink alcohol or anything. I do drink wine, that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying today compared to back then was a total difference. I was on the verge of literally becoming an alcoholic like my mother was, And so, you know, I started going to church with my family, started, you know, praying a lot, that kind of thing. And so I was getting delivered from that needing. And I really honestly felt like I needed to cry. Like, I guess for so many years I never did because I just went through life and whatever, had the anger, had all this and all that going on inside me. I felt like, you know, I needed to cry. And so I did it so much. And so it still led me to, during all this time, I still, you know, believed that I had more in me to give the world. And so I started, you know, still kept doing the self-help and self-development and that kind of stuff, and just, you know, growing in God's word and just, you know, believing that there was more for me in life. And so that leads me to today, to where I'm at now and why I'm on Life Coach Radio Network. And that's to help people that don't, you know, we all have a voice. We all have things that we deal with in life. And I'm a true believer that whatever path or whatever, you know, hard times you had in life, when you make it through those and you're delivered from them, you know, that you should seek other people who are going through the same thing, because that's what you know. Nobody knows my story. I don't know their story. Nobody knows my story like me. Nobody knows the addictions I have and what I did to conquer them and to come through them, you know, to get through them. So that's why I believe that I am qualified to be on LCRN, Blog Talk Radio, because, no, I don't have a certification in life coaching, but I have a life that has been, you know, that has went down the wrong path and been delivered from it. And I didn't do it through rehab. I didn't do it through, you know, a lot of ways that people have to go through. So that's why I feel like my story is not different from anybody else's, but I believe my path is special because I've seen and understand how so many people give up, take their life, how so many people go in and out of rehab, and none of that I've done. None of that I've done. I know I haven't, you know, stopped what I have on my own by no means, but I know that I've never had to seek, you know, professional help for my problems. Even though I may have, you know, I don't know if I would have conquered them sooner, but I honestly am glad I didn't, that I endured it the way I did, because it really has given me a backbone and strength to seek out people who are dealing with this, because dealing with depression, dealing with identity, knowing who they are. And that's why where I'm at today, I looked myself in the mirror. I looked myself in the mirror and I told myself the truth. I said, you're lazy. You know, I looked myself in the mirror and said, you can do more. You can do better. You know, when I had nobody else to tell me this kind of stuff. And I think one of the things that that I am truly blessed with now is a work ethic, a work ethic that when I want something and when my belief, I'm a push myself. I'm going to push myself to accomplish that. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what I can and can't do. And that's why I do thank God to this present day for my childhood. Even though for a year and a half and maybe a little bit more I cried so much about it, I thank God for it now, because the type of things that I do now, I face rejection, you know, talking to people about business and other things. And now my heart and my mind is strong enough to deal with it, because I faced so much rejection as a child and in my early adulthood stages. So on my path to where I am today, I'm glad I went through everything. I'm glad I dealt with that. I really believe that, you know, I lived that life for a reason. And it wasn't just to go to my grave and not share my story, to uplift, encourage, inspire, and influence other people to believe in themselves, to know that they can be. Because I knew I did none of this without family, and I know a lot of people have family. And sometimes family can be the worst thing to have. And I think that's why it's easier for me to make a transition, because I wasn't given a pacifier every time things didn't go my way. I didn't have this person to run to or that person to run to because, you know, my parents told me I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, so I went here and did this, and somebody else allowed me to do it. I didn't have that. I've seen both sides of the track. I've seen dirt poor. I've lived dirt poor. And I've seen, you know, middle class, and I've lived middle class. So my whole idea of being on Life Coach Radio Network is to uplift, inspire, influence, encourage anybody that wants to do better, that know that they have more in them, and that, you know, life is worth living, and your life is worth living, because whatever you're dealing with, there is an end to it. And there's a positive end to it if you seek it. And so the episodes that, you know, I know tonight I titled this, you know, I Am, and, you know, but I know I should have titled it My Story or something like that just to kind of change it. But my next shows will cater to how you can change, you know, the words that you say to yourself. You know, what are you saying to yourself to, you know, your subconscious mind to identify with, to believe that you have more in you? And so, and that's what I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to specialize in being a self-esteem, self-identity coach, if there is such a title. I want to help people believe in themselves. I want to help people know who they're believing in and know why they believe in it. And so with that being said, I would like to read, I'm currently reading a book right now that says, the title of the book is What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. And if I can, I'd like to read in the beginning of this book, this quote that says, you are everything that is your thoughts, your life, your dreams come true. You are everything you choose to be. You are as unlimited as the endless universe. So pretty much how I'm going to end a lot of my shows is a word of wisdom from a book or something to give you something to, you know, encourage you and uplift you, to help you to believe in who you are and why you're here, because your life is real and your life matters. So that's pretty much my show for tonight. This is my first show, and I wanted to introduce the audience to Marvin Gulley and who I am and what I want to accomplish, you know, as being a host on this show. My next appearance on here will be on July 30th. I will be co-hosting with Tamara Robinson. She is a certified professional coach. And also Connie. I apologize, Connie, I don't know your last name. But she is a certified holistic health coach. So I will be partnering with these two ladies on co-hosting with them on July 30th at 8 p.m. And stay tuned tomorrow. Tune into our 8 p.m. show, Vacation Sooner Than Later, with host Zoe Brown. He will be interviewing networker, professional networker, Danny Norton. Okay, so I would like to say good night and thank you for your time, and I will see you in the next episode. Good night, everyone.